right. Well, let me just say again, thank you so much for your faithfulness, for coming out each night. And it has been a blessing to us, and I hope it has been a blessing and helpful to you folks. Again, thank you. Thank you so much for your support and for praying for us. We cannot do what we do without the people of God's help. And we do not take that lightly. We do not take your support lightly. And so we thank you for that. Mark chapter 4, if you would, let's start over there. Mark chapter 4 this evening. We've just got a handful of biblical principles that we'll go over, and then we'll go over the close, working on the close, and then once we do that, then we'll break up into sessions, all right? Everybody have that? Mark chapter 4, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, if you look at verse 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. The principle we're going to start off with tonight is this: learning to shoo away birds. Learning to shoo away birds. Every time you go to talk to somebody about the Lord, I can promise you this: Satan's going to show up. And he's going to do his best to try to distract, to try to do everything he can to keep you from getting the gospel to folks, to keep you from making it clear and making it understandable. And so a few things that I have learned through the years that help to shoo away the birds are, first, to do this: ask their name, remember it, and use it. I mean, y'all are bad at that. You ask somebody's name and forget it right away. I cannot tell you how many times I've done that. I've had to go back and say, I'm sorry, what was your name again? That is so embarrassing, amen? And so I encourage you to do this. Ask their name and use it immediately, so you try to capture that in your mind. Usually during the, and when I'm introducing myself, I will ask their name. My name's Scott. What's your name? And, you know, try to use that. Just, well, man, what's your name? Kevin? Well, it's good to meet you, Kevin. And, you know, now I don't know if y'all are like me. Sometimes I hear names and I can't really grasp. There are certain groups of folks that, you know, they play word games with names, I guess, amen. And so sometimes that is difficult, but I would encourage you to do that. That is very helpful. I remember one time we were walking into Silver Dollar City, and there's hundreds of people walking in. It just opened, hundreds of people there, and somebody hollers, "Hey, Netterville!" And immediately, you know, when your name is called, what does it cause you to do? Man, it calls you to stop and focus, amen? Hey, remember when Mom called your name? And especially when she used the whole thing, amen? You knew something was important, amen? So use their name, ask their name and use it, but then also use a conversational method. So that you are talking, and I've said this already, we are not wanting to talk at people. We're wanting to talk to people. And we've got to remember, hey, these are people that Jesus died for. These are real folks. When in some game, or in some, you know, we're just trying to notch our belt or something like that. No, folks. These are real people that we are dealing with. And so, man, just talk with them. Amen. Make it a conversation. Ask them questions. Again, use their name. Many times I'll do this. As I have my New Testament out, if I can get it out of my pocket here, I will, you know, just, I'll say, hey, look at this verse right here. Why? Because I know Satan is trying to distract them. And so I want to keep their attention focused. And let's be honest, folks, in the society that we're in, it almost seems like we're reverting today. Used to, you know, a child's attention span was just a couple of minutes. And it seems like today, in today's society, man, everything is so fast-paced that folks' attention span is not very long. And so I do those things in using hand gestures, using their name to call their focus one more time. Ask them to read this verse with me. And we remember faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So the more they see the Scripture, see, the better off they are. So learn in those things to shoo away the birds, all right? Use their name, conversational method, hand gestures, and have asking questions and just working on keeping their attention focused, all right? Let's see. Let me do this. Okay. Go to Luke chapter 5. I want to try to get these done quickly and so that we can get over to the close. Luke chapter 5, verse 30 through 32 there. Says this, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The principle here is this. A person that is not lost doesn't need to get saved. And the point is this, folks. We need to make sure that we are thorough in dealing with them being a sinner. Now, be cautious and wise as you deal with them about being a sinner. I always do this. When I'm talking about sin, I make myself the sinner first. We're not careful as Christians. If we begin to point out how they are a sinner, we can come across as condescending. And we've probably all, maybe not had it said to us, but have heard it said that, boy, they just look down their nose at us, like, you know. And we don't want to come across that way at all. We want to be careful so that you know, hey, listen, you know, the Bible's clear here. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all right there, you know who that includes? That includes me. Listen, I've done things I knew there's wrong, yet I did them anyway. And you know, Kevin, you've done things. You knew there's wrong, yet you did them anyway. So I make myself the sinner first. But, you know, the devil is slick, folks. And he's been at this a long time. And so for him to take and in their mind, for him to be able to twist things that we say, to use it against us, man, he's good at that kind of stuff. He's good at mind games. And so we need to do our best to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, amen? And let folks know, hey, I'm the bad guy. And then make sure that we relate it to them. Make sure that they understand they've chosen sin. They've chosen sin and are guilty before God. Make sure that they understand that. And again, using that illustration that I use about, the cookies and getting cookies out of the cookie jar when Mom told me I couldn't have any. And she walks in and I've got crumbs all over my face, crumbs all over the counter. And she said, "Scott, you been in that cookie jar?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And listen, you can ask folks, listen, what did he say when Mom asked him about being in the cookie jar? Everybody knows what my answer was. "No, ma'am." "Well, you're a liar, you know it." I mean, and help them to understand. We choose to do wrong over right. That's our nature, folks. And so use that illustration to help them and make sure that they understand. And again, we're not trying to be offensive, but we need to make it clear they deserve to go to hell. Not only have they sinned against God, but the Bible's clear, for the wages of sin is death. That death is not just a physical death, but there's a second death. And I'll ask them, "Have you ever seen that in the Bible, seen that second death?" The majority of the time, folks will say they have not. And I'll always tell them, listen, it's not something spooky or mysterious. Because listen, the devil tries to make Christianity or spiritual things spooky and mysterious. And so I'll tell them, listen, it's not something spooky or mysterious. In fact, when you see it, you'll say, "Okay, that makes sense." And then I'll go to Revelation 21:8 and show them, "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, shall all, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. And explain that second death is that lake of fire, and that's hell, all right? So make sure they understand that, and that they are lost. And again, be careful in using that very term. The lost crowd doesn't understand what the word lost means. All right? You say, "Well, you're unsaved." Well, they don't understand what unsaved means either. You need to just help them to understand in very simple terms. They've sinned against God, and they deserve to go to hell because of it, just like I do. I deserve to go to hell. And sir, ma'am, you deserve to go to hell also because we've sinned against a holy God. Okay? Let's see. Next, let's do this. John chapter 6. By the way, if y'all have any questions along the way, you're free to ask them. John chapter 6. Look down at verse 44. It says here, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." The principle here is this: you do the witnessing, God does the saving. You do the witnessing, God does. Folks, man, if there is, I'll say this again, if there is nothing else you get from all of this, please get a hold of the fact that in our soul winning, we must depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that does the work. And if he doesn't do the work, then nobody's going to get saved. They must. It ought to do this as we begin to talk to somebody. Excuse me. We need to make sure that we're spiritually prepared. That we're prayed up. That remember, we've talked already several times how the devil is going to use those fiery darts. That's his devices. He's going to, in our mind, try to play mind games of why you shouldn't talk to people, of how that, you know, the fear, the intimidation, will overcome you. And so we need to take that shield of faith. And understand, folks, we've got to be prepared as we go into witnessing. And you know, let's be honest, folks. We have gotten away from really preaching a lot on spirit fullness. We've almost let the charismatics steal that. We're scared to death to talk about the Holy Ghost, to talk about spirit fullness. Folks, Baptists were preaching that and teaching that long before charismatics ever came around. Amen. Long before the Pentecost crowd or the Assembly of Gods ever came around, Baptists had been preaching spirit fullness. Now, again, let me say this. Don't be a spiritual fruit loop. Amen. I mean, there are people that they try to, man, they try to make Christianity spooky and mysterious. And folks, it is not. It is, the Bible is very clear, it's very practical, and we need to make sure that we don't come across as some kind of spiritual fruit loop and that they're thinking that, you know, this guy's a wacko. I mean, cut that out. You're welcome. I mean, it does not serve the cause of Christ well for us to act like, you know, we're... And again, that thing of coming across as some kind of, you know, I'm more spiritual than you. Well, I get it. They're spiritually dead, so sure, you're more spiritual than them. But we're not to be high-minded. Amen? We're in fact, the Bible's clear. We need to humble ourselves to esteem others better than ourselves and not come across as, man, I know something you don't know, or I'm spiritual, I'm better than you, or, and be so careful of that. Because the devil will twist words and cause them to think things like that. So be aware of that. God, you do the witnessing. God does the convicting and saving. 1 Corinthians 3:6, turn over there. 1 Corinthians 3:6. It says this, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Always remember this, you never know where God is in working in this person's life. Listen, folks, please understand, God wants everybody saved, amen? It's not anybody that he doesn't want. And so understand, he is working in their life. And sometimes what we're doing is planting a seed. And you know, it may be the first time they've really heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And they're not really ready to get saved. Some folks, they're open like that and they will get saved immediately. But many folks, man, they want to think on this. They're not looking to just make a snap decision that really doesn't mean much to them. And so what we want to do is this. Remember, that sometimes we're planting a seed. Sometimes we're watering a seed. Man, maybe mom and dad, maybe grandma had planted the seed. And they've been praying for these folks. And you and I just come along and we're just kind of watering that seed. And again, it may be that God doesn't have them where he needs them yet for them to get saved. And so we just We're just watering. And then sometimes, obviously, as we're talking to folks, sometimes they are open, they are ready, and they get saved. And God gives an increase. But understand this, folks. Always leave the door open for the next soul winner. Leave the door open for the next soul. You don't know where God is. So don't say something foolish or be unkind. And then it closes the door for the next guy. I related the story early on. How that Brother Ken Garrett had told me, don't let my ignorance send me to hell. I don't recommend that as a soul winning tool, amen? Now God used it. He didn't, it didn't cause me to shut off, just anything about the gospel. But let's be honest, it well could have. It well could have been very offensive to somebody so that the next person that came along trying to talk did not have an open door. So let's make sure that we do that. Keep the door open. You never know where God is. Remember, again, He wants them saved more than we do. And He is working in their heart. You know, sometimes, and again, especially in working with family and stuff, we may not see God's working in their heart. Man, we want them saved. We want them saved now. Amen? I mean, I don't want to wait. I want now, you know. Let's get this thing done. Jesus is coming. But God may not have them where He needs them yet. And so let's not say something that might be unkind or that'll close the door. Amen? Make sure you always leave that door open for the next person. Let's see, I already did that. Be spiritually prepared. Trust the Holy Spirit as we're talking with people. Trust the Holy Spirit. Let Him do His work. Let me say it this way. We need the Holy Spirit on both sides. We need His help to listen as we talk so that God can direct us to say the things that need to be said. Because I don't know about you, and I know it's true in preaching. I know Pastor could verify this, Brother Kevin, others that preach. And there's sometimes that I'm preaching and the Holy Spirit will bring a thought to my mind that I didn't have any notes about and had not thought about. But the Holy Spirit said, now, what about this? And so, we have to learn. Man, as we're talking with people, He knows their heart. He knows what needs to be said. And there's time. Listen, don't let Satan feed you the lie that you don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. He said clearly, I believe is it John 10 or Matthew 10? One of you preachers help me. My sheep hear my voice. John 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. You know the voice of God. Don't let Satan lie to you. And again, I get it. The closer you are in fellowship, the easier it is to listen. So again, I go back to that, be spiritually prepared. But man, do your best to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Again, as you're witnessing to folks, there's times they're not ready to get saved. Now, I am very cautious about that. But listen, I don't want to just lead somebody in a prayer and they just pray a prayer, either trying to appease me or trying to get rid of me or, you know, let's be honest, folks. You just make them a twofold child of hell. Let's not do that. So if you, man, listen, I know this is true in my dealing with people. I'm like anybody else. I don't always, you know, there's not some audible voice that God speaks to us, but sometimes it's just an uneasiness. And man, if they've been distracted, I feel like they hadn't been listening, not really focused in. I'm not going to try to lead them in a prayer. And by the way, God's big enough to overcome my foolishness. And again, I'll say, He wants them saved more than I do. So if I mess up, and let's be honest, we're prone to mess up. We're but flesh. And so if we mess up, God's big enough to overcome that. Amen? And to help our infirmities and to help our failures. So trust the Holy Spirit. But if there's an uneasiness as you come to the close, man, just stop and say, listen, I hope you've understood what I've been showing you. And can I do this? Can I just pray for you before I go? And just pray, God, please help Kevin to understand what I've showed him today. And God, do a work in his heart that I cannot do. And Lord, help him to understand that at any time, if he'll just call upon you, you promised you'd save him. And Kevin, thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. And I hope you'll consider what I've showed you today. And you just remember, listen, God's in love with you. And if at any time you just call on Him, He promised He'd save you. And just leave it like that. Amen? I'm afraid I watched during the 80s and 90s as many independent Baptists kind of got caught up in what I call a 1-2-3 pray after me, or a easy prayerism, whatever you want to call it. Prayer doesn't save anybody. It's not magic words. And so we need to remember, somebody just repeating a prayer after me, that doesn't make anybody saved. And sometimes we get zealous and maybe and I'd caution about this. I'm for having church programs and stuff. I think it's good. It helps us to focus on getting people to church. But don't use that time to notch your spiritual gun. So that, man, if I get more points if they get saved. Cut that out. Amen. I mean, yes, we want to get them saved. Yes, we want to be zealous about that. But be careful about that, all right? Let's see. All right, let's do this. Let's work on the close, all right? Work on the close. Let me give you several things. Our place, or excuse me, one place that Satan works hard at stopping is the soul winner at the close. Man, many of us have been hindered by Satan to stop short of actually leading someone in prayer so that they get saved. Let me use, to me, a simple illustration. Remember Matthew 4:19, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Now, my grandson and I, Brother Legault, was so kind to let us go fish in his pond today. And I didn't get out there and throw my lure out there, and when I saw a fish coming, jerk it away from me. See, what's the object of going fishing? I want to catch fish. Amen? What's the object of going soul winning? I want to get people saved. And so I want to make sure that I don't, you know, that I don't fall short. And I know we were just talking about being careful about that. But at the same time, again, folks, I stress, it takes us listening to the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have a peace, stop. But at the same time, don't let it be Satan that stops you. Don't let that nervousness, that anxiety that we have in talking to people, don't let that keep you. And so this is what I do. Several things I'd say here. First is this. Trust God. I've said that so many times. I wish I knew how to stress that even more. Man, as we go, we must trust the Lord. He wants them saved more than we do, and I know you've heard that statement several times, but I hope you'll get that drilled in your heart and mind. He wants them saved more than we do. So trust Him. Trust Him that He is working in their heart. Trust Him that He is convicting. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And He's going to do His job. Amen? He's going to convict the world of sin. That's what it says back in John chapter, I believe it's 13. But remember, our adversary has devices also. And so he's trying his best to stop us. So do this as we draw. We've gone through the four spiritual principles. Then I do this. I want to make sure that my objective is clear. In other words, my objective is this. I'd like for you to trust Christ as your Savior. I'd like for you to ask Christ for forgiveness of sin. All right? I want to make that make their need clear. They need forgiveness of sin. And I want to make that clear to them. Again, I want to use words that are easy to be understood so that I make that objective clear. And then, again, we've talked about this. Explain when it says, we use Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I explain, saved means two things. Number one, it means that you are forgiven of all your sin. And secondly, that you're given God's gift of eternal life in heaven. And so sometimes I'll do this. I'll back up and begin to, I'll say, you know, it says there, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, I you know, the first time I read that, I wasn't clear what it meant to call on the Lord. So I backed up and began to read the chapter again. And I'll back up and I'll say, this is what I found. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. I'll stop there and I'll say something like this. Listen, you know what? You don't confess when you get caught doing right, do you? See, God's caught us doing wrong. We need to be willing to confess to Him, God, I've sinned against you. And it says, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That's just saying I believe that Jesus is the Lord. He is the Christ. And we need to openly confess to Him. Then it says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I'll just say something as simple as this. Listen, this is what God is looking for. He's looking for you and I just to be real with Him, to be honest with Him, and to say to Him, I have sinned, and Lord, I need forgiveness. And I said, I'll use this illustration. I'll say, you know, it says there, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And I want you to understand that it is a heart thing. And I'll explain. I'll say, look, as I was growing up, I had three older sisters. Y'all say, all right there. Yeah, thank you very much. It's hard growing up with three older sisters. But we fought all the time. And I mean, we'd fight about everything. And every once in a while, Mom would get tired of it. And she'd say, Scott, that's enough. Apologize to your sisters. And this is what I'd do. I'm sorry. Can I tell you, Mom didn't accept that? And can I say, God is not going to accept that either. God is not looking for you just to say, I'm sorry. See, He is looking for a heart that'll say to Him, God, I'm guilty. And I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And see, again, just a simple illustration helps folks to understand how to call on the Lord, to come to Him, being sincere and honest, and just saying to God, I need forgiveness. So I want to make that objective clear. And I want them to understand what God is looking for. The last spiritual principle on that coaching card is the individual response to the gospel. They need to understand what their response needs to be to God. It needs to be one of humility, one of confession, and one of sincerity. Saying, God, I'm guilty. And I need forgiveness. And so normally what I'll do, I'll ask them, after I've gone through the gospel, I explain how to call on the Lord. Then I'll say something like this. Listen, Kevin, wouldn't you like to know for sure you was going to heaven? Listen, I know a while ago you said you didn't know for sure. Now, best I know how, I've showed you from the Bible how you can know. Listen, would you like to be saved today? Would you be willing then to call on the Lord right now and ask Him for forgiveness of sin? All right. Then I'll usually say something like this. I know He said, you know, I'm not sure how to call. And so I have to be honest, I don't have a problem leading someone in a prayer. But I want to do this. I want to give them the opportunity to tell the Lord what's in their heart without me having to lead them in a prayer. If I'm going to lead them in a prayer, I will say something like this. Look, Kevin, I'll help you to pray a prayer, but I want you to understand words cannot save you. See, it's just like I'd showed you. It's a matter of your heart and you coming to God and saying to Him, God, I'm guilty and I need forgiveness. So I'll lead you in a prayer, but those words cannot save you. I can't save you. As we pray, you need to be praying and talking to the Lord Himself. All right? You understand that? I'll always go through that so that they do not think that somehow I'm leading them in some kind of magic words or something. That this is, you know, this is a prayer, needs to be a prayer from their heart. All right? Normally, when I ask them if they'd like to be saved, they indicate that they would. I'll tell them, Kevin, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help you to understand what I've showed you today. And then I'm going to simply do this. Just give you opportunity to tell the Lord what's in your heart. It's just simple as this. Just say, God, I know I'm guilty. I've sinned against you. God, I do deserve to go to hell, but would you forgive me? And would you save me? And so, if you'd like to do that, I'm going to pray. That'd be all right. All right. I know, folks, I ask before I present the gospel. We're not in the arm-twisting business. We're not trying to be pushy on people. We're not trying to shove our religion down their throat. And that is all stuff that Satan has used through the years. And so in order to avoid those things, I ask, man, would it be all right if I take my Bible and show you how you can know for sure? And then at the end, ask them, would you like to be saved? Would you like to know for sure heaven's your home and that you have the forgiveness of sin? And then give them opportunity. Man, I've had folks say, you know what, not right now. And when they say that, I'll listen, I know as well as you do, Satan's sitting over here on this shoulder saying, you know what, you can put that off. And so the battle's on, amen. Let's not just give up right there. Look, Kevin, this is the thing. You understand what I've showed you today. Do you understand that? You understand God wants you to call on Him and ask for forgiveness. I know you said you're not ready, but I want you to think about this, man. Listen, devil is sitting on one shoulder telling you you can wait. And God's sitting on the other shoulder saying, why don't you do that? Now who are you going to listen to? See, I don't have any problem putting pressure on them. Because I know Satan's putting pressure on them the other way. And I'm ready to fight. This is a spiritual battle. Satan's not just going to roll over and play dead because you and I are soul winning. He's going to fight against all of it. He's going to try to, during our presentation, he's going to distract. He's going to do everything he can to keep them from listening, from keep them from understanding. It's a spiritual battle. We need to be willing to fight toe-to-toe with him. And just make it real clear. If they say, I'm not ready, well, listen, Kevin. Man, who are you going to listen to? And I'm just not ready. I understand. But listen, you remember, at any time you can call on the Lord and ask him and he'll save you. He'll forgive you. You don't have to be at church. You can be at your home. But I am going to try to at least fight to get them to accept Christ as Savior. All right. Last thing, don't make it complicated. Remember, the Bible is clear. We've got to come as little children. Don't make it complicated for somebody to get saved. Folks, God made it easy. Huh? You and I got saved. He made it easy for us. So let's not make it complicated for folks. Let's remember, trusting Christ as Savior is just something that's as simple as a child by faith, just trusting Dad that he's going to catch him. I mean, every little kid, you tell them, jump. Man, they just jump. They don't even think about consequences, amen? And that's how we want it to be. And you can trust him. Go ahead and jump. Amen. Don't make it complicated. Make it easy for him. All right? Let's see. All right. I think that's all that I have. Let me ask, is there any questions? Anybody have anything they'd like to get clarity on or something? All right, Pastor, if you would, you come and let's get paired up and then we'll work on practicing this last night. Just simply, again, we want to introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm Scott. Never come up here, Pastor. Hi, I'm Scott. What's your name?
Caleb.
Caleb, hey, it's good to meet you. Caleb, let me give you an invitation to church here. Listen, we're from Emmanuel Baptist. Just like to invite you. You go to church anywhere?
Yeah.
Where you go?
I go to the Seventh-day Adventist Church down the road.
Okay, well, great. Then you're available on Sundays to be able to come.
That's true.
And so, man, how tremendous. You can go to your church on Saturday, come over to ours. Again, we let Seventh-day Adventists in half price. Amen? And so we'd love to have you as our guest sometime. Listen, I know that there's some differences, let's be honest, between what Seventh-day Adventists teach, what Baptists would teach. I don't know if you've ever been to a Baptist church, but I believe it's something that, you know, maybe some things that are in common, some things you'd like, maybe some things you wouldn't like, but I still think it'd be a blessing to you. We'd love to have you come over sometime. Folks, just be real with people. If you don't, man, just be real with people. People respond to that. It's when we get kind of goofy, you know, and we don't want to bring up that there's differences or things like that. Then they can spot the phonyism. Amen? Don't do that. Let them know, hey, I get it. There's some differences, but I still think you'd like it. I think you'd like our pastor. And so, man, come on over sometime and visit with us. Now, let me ask you, what about eternity? You thought, obviously, you care about spiritual things.
Yeah.
Okay. So just introduce yourself. Go through those approach questions. Again, you don't have to use all of those, but you want to get to the four spiritual principles. Go through those things and then go through the close, all right? And we only have about 20 minutes, all right? And so that means each partner, you have about 10 minutes. I get it. It's not really enough time, but we're just practicing here, all right? And let me say this. Don't make this the last time you practice. Amen. Hey, get with your partner at other times. And maybe say, hey, why don't you come a little early to Sunday school? Say amen right there. Amen. Come a little early to Sunday school. We'll practice before Sunday school. For those of you that don't normally come to Sunday school, shame on you. You're welcome. And now this gives you a good opportunity and a good reason to be here in Sunday school. Y'all say amen right there. Huh? But don't let it be the last time you practice. Get together. It will, I promise, practice will help you, all right? So y'all go right ahead. If you have questions, wave at me, and I'll do my best to try to help you. Ladies, if you'd like for my wife to help you, she can break off and also help you, all right?